As the world watches and listens in horror, the peaceful pro-democracy demonstration in China comes to a violent and bloody end.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Wolves hiding nearby, whispering, do or die. Around me, you say your last good night while I
there is another very important phase of warfare. It has as its target not the body, but the mind of the enemy.
The target of psychological warfare is against the enemy's mind.
It is words and ideas.
Ammunition used by Cywar.
Its mission is to influence the thoughts of the enemy soldiers. And at the same time,
is expected and encouraged to study foreign languages and the social sciences such as history, economics, and sociology. He must have a broad and sympathetic understanding of all phases of human experience.
Gripping at my skin, the walls of night close in.
But the use of this force as an integral part of combat has now taken on new form. These are the Cywar soldiers.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Thursday, April 20th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. And so picking up from yesterday a little bit, as a continuation of the discussion of fifth generation warfare, James Corbett's piece in particular, episode 441, Your Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare. There's more to the story. I have a little bonus, I don't know, dossier on things like the resistance operating concept, the ROC, they call it, which is a sort of a recent outgrowth of some, you know, a fairly recent, anyway, outgrowth of some earlier doctrinal precepts. And really what it is, in my humble estimation, is sort of a rebranding or repackaging or a synthesizing of Gene Sharp's work. In fact, in the official manual for resistance operating concept, Gene Sharp is mentioned more than a dozen times. And Otto Fiala is kind of the author of the resistance operating concept. He's the primary author, and he has spoken about the 198 nonviolent resistance techniques that they include in the official resistance operating concept manual, which are it's just a naked republishing of Gene Sharp's list. So, you know, if you're familiar with that discussion, you know that is it's kind of like the FBI and CIA. They are engaged in similar activities. Is one confined to domestic and the other confined to all other sorts of affairs? Not exactly. The FBI, you know, every once in a while we read about the fact that the FBI is in Afghanistan looking for somebody. And we hear about on a regular basis that the CIA is not supposed to target Americans. And yet, you know, publicly that's the statement. That's the establishment line. And yet we see the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012 that rolls back the notion that the CIA should not be propagandizing the American people, because the argument goes something like, well, with propaganda that we send overseas bouncing back on social media, for example, I mean, how can we possibly be responsible for that? So effectively saying that, you know, the American people choose to propagandize themselves, in effect, which is absurd. Anyway, this idea of resistance operating concept, I think, is an essential aspect of fifth generation warfare. And so what is it? I think in essence you could call it the MILDOC of communitarianism. It's the military equivalent of communitarianism, where, you know, all systems basically fold in under this concept of, and all institutions fold in under this concept of resistance operating concept. So without getting ahead of myself, in that video, if you're familiar, Ghost in the Machine, the fourth PSYOP group, apparently recruiting video, all the world's a stage and we're all actors, state and non-state actors, you see the symbol of the Ghost Army. World War II, the Ghost Army was a United States Army tactical deception unit during World War II, officially known as the 23rd Headquarters Special Troops. And according to Wikipedia, the 1,100-man unit was given a unique mission to deceive Hitler's forces and mislead them as to the size and location of Allied forces, while giving the actual units elsewhere time to maneuver. Activated on January 20, 1944, the Ghost Army arrived in Europe in May, shortly before D-Day, and returned to the U.S. at the end of the war in July 1945. During their tenure, the Ghost Army carried out more than 20 deception campaigns, putting on a traveling roadshow, utilizing inflatable tanks, sound trucks, fake radio transmissions, scripts, and pretense. Their story was kept a secret for more than 50 years after the war, until it was declassified in 1996. The unit was the subject of a PBS documentary, The Ghost Army, in 2013. In February 2022, members of the Ghost Army were awarded the Congressional Gold Medal, citing their unique and highly distinguished service. So, for our purposes, for the moment, maybe we could focus on the notion that the deception campaigns were essentially putting on a traveling roadshow, which reminds me of the Potemkin Village conversation and reminds me of some of the fairly recent TrueStream Media videos, the digital Potemkin Village and the disappearing internet, for example. You know, there was where did the rest of the internet go, part one and two. And I think with that video, the veil between the computer-generated dream world and reality is disappearing. That's another TrueStream Media video if you haven't seen it. So what is the purpose of mentioning this? Well, I think this is this is a nod to what's happening and always been happening. At least, you know, from the early 20th century forward. You know, this, what we hear, you watch the video and you see, you know, this group fancies itself the tip of Wild Bill Donovan's spear, and hearkening back to, I mean, with the symbol of the Ghost Army, there is a history somewhere. Actually, I'm not sure where it is. Maybe I can find it. If you're familiar with some of the nuances of the story, you can put the pieces together and it's pretty shocking. The history of the OSS CIA, where is that? On a .mil website, no less. And the thing that really, I think, astonishes me as much as anything is the cognitive dissonance of folks who, these are, you know, typically these days, the PSYOPs folks are, in many cases, highly educated. And I think maybe they need to listen to Chamath Palihapitiya's Stanford School of Business talk, where he says, you know, you guys, to the audience, you know, to his audience, he says, you guys are the most vulnerable or susceptible to deception and manipulation because you've been checkboxing your whole lives. And so, you know, speaking of David's point the other day about blind spots, you look at the history and then see these things, these campaigns being conducted. I mean, this is presuming, obviously, that a person is not actively engaging in these kinds of things, and that's a whole different sticky wicket. But, you know, to see these things happening around you and not wonder, I mean, really, is it Russia? I mean, you know, we hear in the disinformation and psyops and deception echo chamber, we hear, well, you know, we have to combat. I mean, who was it that said that recently? That was actually, I think that was the other TrueStream Media video that probably should go along with it. More recently, where does the narrative replace reality? I think Aaron Dykes did a good job. There are some excerpts we could probably play him, actually, where, you know, during the Twitter Files hearings, for example, this observation was made, you know. First you said we have to fight these people and these people. I mean, it's kind of a compressed version of James Madison's warning about the means of foreign defense have been always the engines of tyranny at home. Compressed from then to now, you know, in internet years, in dog years, basically. We've had that example over the last 3 years. You say that, you know, we're worried about these people, and so we have to silence those people and those people. And next thing you know, you have basically put the First Amendment squarely in your crosshairs. Ironically, that was the discussion 250 years ago. And so we're, you know, we hear, well, we have to do these things. Well, if it's such a concern and it's about national security, how are these platforms allowing this content to come through? Isn't that kind of the first question? If you know that the disinformation is coming from overseas, ostensibly, and therefore, you know, that should be filtered out. And I'm not saying that it should be. I'm just saying that the argument is fallacious on its face. Obviously. Anyone who stops and thinks for a moment what is going on here can see the argument is disingenuous. Well, we have to censor everything. So you're telling me that to prevent Russian disinformation and, you know, election bot interference, you have to prevent people here from talking about their real life experience with, you know, vaccine injury, for example, like when Jimmy Dore said, hey, I just got the COVID vaccine and here's what happened to me. For anybody who may have had the same experience, or for people who are wondering, oh, you can't say that? Because I guess that's Russian disinfo bots. The argument fails on its face. The logic fails. There is no logic. So, it seems like there's a lot of, you know, when we look at the headlines and things, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. And I wonder how much of that is a traveling roadshow. I think a lot of it is a traveling roadshow these days. For what purpose, though? Again, from the Ghost Army Wikipedia entry, the 1,100-man unit was given a unique mission to deceive Hitler's forces and mislead them as to the size and location of Allied forces, while giving the actual units elsewhere time to maneuver. Doesn't it feel like, you know, in the information age, that the American public is always, even the best informed folks, are always just one step behind? And then, conversely, we see the just-in-time answers or solutions. Are those the things that, as Angus Bergen says, have been reached for on the shelf? I wonder about these things. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a
welcome back.
I don't care.
You know, I feel like doing a How Crazy every day and not getting too carried away, but, you know, I think we could start with what I've been talking about, which goes back to some of the other stuff. I mean, I mentioned the other day that I wanted to get to G. Edward Griffin's stuff, you know, coming out of some conversations last week. We are duped and hoodwinked in ways that we do not perceive. The page, by the way, speaking of all of this and the history of it, the page that I was thinking about it's actually the website arsof-history.org. So, you know, ARSOF, U.S. Army Special Operations, ARSOF-history.org. The page is titled A Timeline of U.S. Army Special Operations Forces. And the timeline begins, I mean, right at the beginning, Army Special Operations Forces timeline, modern U.S. Army Special Operations Forces began with the American Expeditionary Forces propaganda and military government agencies during World War II, right? No, during World War I. This is the opening of the timeline. Since then, RSOF has grown and adapted to meet evolving national security concerns. This timeline depicts the significant events that have shaped RSOF over the last century. Over the last century. So again, the first entry in the timeline, it says World War I, 28 July 1914 to 11 November 1918. Most RSOF units derived their lineage from World War II legacy units, but psychological operations and civil affairs, military government, traced their roots to World War I, which the U.S. entered on 6 April 1917. And should we play the Patrick Claussen clip about, you know, the traditional way America gets to war? Speaking of deception, dupes and useful idiots, although, you know, very erudite in many cases. Continuing, in 1918, the War Department and American Expeditionary Forces established sections to perform propaganda activities. And this, you know, again, can we talk about the Office of War Information and the exploits of Bernays and company, pun intended. The War Department and American Expeditionary Forces established sections to perform propaganda activities. After the armistice, the Army conducted military government operations in Germany and Russia. It also published American military government in occupied Germany in 1920, which laid a solid groundwork for civil affairs, CA, during World War II. However, combat propaganda was a casualty of post-war demobilization and the lean Great Depression years, forcing the Army to relearn this capability in the early 1940s. Well, sort of, anyway. I mean, that's the establishment party line. It's interesting stuff, you know, and so we can play clips from bygone eras, hearing that this doesn't happen at home, except, you know, it happens at home repeatedly. We played clips of that recently. You know, local news stations talking about how psychological operations forces have been embedded in the media, and they routinely conduct their little experiments on the hapless and unwitting American public. And, I mean, if you read the doctrinal statements, then you have to acknowledge that, you know, by all means, the end justifies the means, and so by all means necessary is part of the doctrinal statement. And so, you know, when do you draw the line and decide for yourself that this is an unjust order and I should not follow it? Then we start bumping into, you know, Nuremberg defense territory and the Milgram experiment and so on and so on. But these people are very erudite, so I'm sure they make the right decisions in all those cases. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Welcome back. I got a little how crazy deal, but first, speaking of what I said, how about this from local news outlets? This is a clip on YouTube titled "Army Embeds PSYOPs Soldiers at Local TV Stations." Go ahead, please.
The U.S. Army has used local television stations in the U.S. as training posts for some of its psychological operations personnel, according to Yahoo News blog The Upshot. Since at least 2001, both WRAL, a CBS affiliate in Raleigh, North Carolina, and WTOC, a CBS affiliate in Savannah, Georgia, have regularly hosted active duty soldiers from the Army's 4th Psychological Operations Group as part of the Army's Training with Industry program. Training with Industry is designed to offer career soldiers a chance to pick up skills through internships and fellowships with private businesses. The PSYOP soldiers use WRAL and WTOC to learn broadcasting and communications expertise that they could apply in their mission, as the Army describes it, of, quote, influencing the emotions, motives, objective reasoning, and ultimately the behavior of foreign audiences. WRAL and WTOC were on a list of participants in the Army's Training with Industry program provided to the Upshot in response to a Freedom of Information Act request. And a spokeswoman with the Army's Human Resources Command confirmed that PSYOP soldiers worked at the stations. Lieutenant Colonel Stacy Bathrick said, quote, both of these stations are very supportive of the military and think very highly of the program. Bathrick said the soldiers were never involved in news gathering. The relationship between PSYOPs, Training with Industry, and television news operations has stirred controversy in the past. In 2000, after a Dutch newspaper reported that PSYOPs troops had been placed in CNN's newsroom under the program, CNN discontinued the internships and admitted that they had made a mistake. A spokesperson said at the time, quote, it was inappropriate for PSYOPs personnel to be at CNN. They are not here now, and they never again will be at CNN. WRAL and WTOC are not alone among media outlets that the U.S. military has sought to learn from through Training with Industry. The Upshot has previously reported that the Marine Corps placed public affairs officers with the Chicago Tribune for several years in order to better understand how to influence and work with the news media. And CNNMoney.com hosted an officer in 2007 and 2008, despite the network's embarrassment over the program in 2000.
So yes, Virginia, that does happen. And we've, you know, I mean, there is the incredible disappearing congressional testimony from the Church Committee and the Church Committee hearings that just kind of, it seems to, you know, kind of like George Soros's 1998 interview with Steve Croft, the 60 Minutes interview. Funny thing, like markets. It wasn't me. If I wasn't there, someone else would have been doing it. So it wasn't me. It wasn't you stealing. And that, you know, if we could zero in on things like that and, you know, freeze those things, as Saul Alinsky might say, you know, that causes the cockroaches to scurry. How can you call George, you know, how can you call someone who doesn't appreciate the things that George Soros does, you know, the ways that he manages, or at least what we're told, you know, ostensibly, the ways that I think he's more of a mule personally, but, you know, the way that ways that we're told that he is able to manage to amass his ill-gotten gain and what he does with that. If you're not fond of it, then you're called an anti-Semite. If anybody is an anti-Semite, it is the guy who, you know, in the context of the terminology, I disagree with the term itself, but in the context that it's used, the weaponization of it, no one is more of an anti-Semite than George Soros. I didn't, as a teenager, steal or confiscate the personal property of my fellow Hungarian Jews while they were being loaded onto trains. I don't see how anyone could be accused of being anti-Semitic when juxtaposed with George Soros. I mean, you'd really have to go looking to find someone who's engaged in more anti-Semitic activities than George Soros, I think. But, you know, if we talk about the truth and reality and actual history and facts, then the cockroaches scurry. Along with this, you know, speaking of that, you may have heard of the Christopher Rufo story. He is a sharp, very intelligent, quick-witted individual who has a pretty good lay of the landscape, I think. He was part of a debate, I think, is what it could be called. And he gave a speech as part of that over in Budapest. And it was sponsored by the Manhattan Institute. It's published on his YouTube channel and also, I think, on his Substack titled The New Face of Marxism. And it's pretty brilliant. And he actually unpacks the hypocrisy pretty succinctly, I think. Maybe we should play an excerpt of that. Published about 2 weeks ago, a little less than 2 weeks ago. And viewed about 20,000 times. He's tells it pretty plainly. So speaking of the PSYOPs, yes, Virginia, the Army embeds PSYOPs soldiers at local TV stations. And, you know, again, getting back to the timeline, it's funny. You do the homework and you see a just-in-time narrative sort of form. Just-in-time every time. It's not World War II. It's actually World War I. And at every major conflict thereafter, well, we had to relearn it for World War II. But you, I mean, right out of the gates, man. Really? So you had to relearn it. Let's see. Officially, let me look. World War II. Yeah, right out of the gates, you know, this training was occurring. 6th Ranger Battalion, Merrill's Marauders, the Mars Task Force, military government, psychological warfare elements for today's civil affairs and psychological operations units. Anyway, whether it's World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, 9/11, every time we hear about some opportunity of crisis, there's a just-in-time effort waiting right there. You know, so for example, in this timeline, World War II, you have 1941, July 11, 11 July 1941, coordinator of Office of Information, the COI, established. The first national intelligence agency and the direct predecessor to the Office of Strategic Services, OSS, established by and headed by William J. Donovan, Wild Bill Donovan. Wait a minute. And then, you know, the next entry in the timeline is 22 December 1941, Special Activities Goodfellow formed, later became the OSS Special Operations Branch. Correct me if I'm wrong. And then there is, you know, sort of a subtext of timeline below that, but this predates the December 7, 1941 bombing of Pearl Harbor, which was not a surprise attack. That's an established fact of history. The Roosevelt administration knew about it for months. You know, most accounts that most well-researched accounts, I think, put it at August of 1940 that, you know, the planning was known, if memory serves. So anyway, this effort predates, you know, in just-in-time fashion, the bombing of Pearl Harbor. But again, you know, maybe we should play Patrick Claussen telling us about the traditional way America gets to war. It's always some kind of synthetic terrorism, which reminds me, speaking of all of this stuff, what does all of this have to do? Well, it reminds me of what Christopher Rufo is talking about when he says the critical theory, critical race theorists are what he calls synthetic revolutionaries. who have filtered left-wing ideology through a postmodern lens. They are, you know, the ultimate henchmen for Alinsky and Gene Sharp. And they most of them don't even know it. That's exactly what they're doing, which is ironic because, you know, the outgrowth of Gene Sharp's work into and metamorphosis of it into the resistance operating concept doctrine is, you know, it's not just for abroad, it's for home too, because we're seeing the same kinds of things. If you go to that list of 198 nonviolent actions, I thought about going through that list actually on the air and maybe crossing that with news items, because we're seeing it happen here. Is that a coincidence? I talked about unconventional warfare last week and the signs that there's some kind of an uprising, there's some kind of, you know, counterinsurgency operation in your midst, that there's a fifth column building, and we're seeing it. To me, the doctrine is patently communitarian. Anyway, let me give you an example. Well, yeah, I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. Let me just read from the official document. Resistance operating concept. Published back in, finished in April of 2020, published in May, includes an image on the front of it of a painting by Vaclav Havel, of all people. Otpor, you know, what is it? What's the other? And you know, I've talked about how, you know, the ghost of Brzezinski is the gift that keeps on giving. Serta Popovic over at the Harvard Kennedy School is a terrorist. The Otpor canvas guy. One of the founders of the Serbian nonviolent resistance group. This is a NATO doctrine now. And surprise, surprise, it was mostly formulated through SACEUR, so Special Forces Europe, not here at home. And then, you know, and so the irony through all of this, I mean, if you are familiar with the background of the story, the irony through all of it is all of the, you know, for the last 20 years, all of the spin that we've heard with the CIA in particular and, you know, Albert Einstein Institute, USAID, and all of the State Department apparatchiks that we heard were not working with Gene Sharp or his work. Oh, no, that's not happening. It's institutionalized now. So it's just the craziest thing. We were gaslighted all this time. No, we don't. No, we're not engaging in those kinds of things, even though we are and had been, and that had been surfacing constantly, these pamphlet campaigns and, you know, hearts and minds campaigns that tie back to Gene Sharp's work every time, like Serta Popovic's stuff at Otpor and Canvas. And now it's institutionalized in the resistance operating concept, the ROC. They call it the ROC. Why do they call it the ROC? Because it's unbreakable. You do exactly what I've been talking about. Whether we're talking about communitarianism or whatever you want to call it, this is a military doctrine now, where you keep folding the metals together, disparate metals, and hammering them in the fire. Fold and hammer, kind of like the Fabian window. If I didn't know better, I would think that, you know, there's something along those lines going on. But of course, that's conspiratorial. That can't be what's happening. But it sure looks a lot like that. So you stick the metals in the fire, pull them out, hammer them together, fold them and hammer. And then you make an unbreakable thing. The rock is, you know, the means of world revolutionary transformation at this point. Hail Hydra. It's pretty crazy what we're witnessing. It sounds crazy, but if you see it and you see the pieces of it, I mean, if you don't see it, it's Clark's third law. Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic, and the guy who sees it sounds crazy. But if you see it, it's pretty obvious. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the
Welcome back. Top of the, or excuse me, end of the first hour, final segment of the first hour of today's broadcast. I think along with these videos, let's see, TrueStream Media, speaking of their stuff, they've done some great stuff on this. How about, you know, speaking of the clip that we played, they did the segment back in 2017 titled That Time a Military PSYOP Unit Worked at CNN. Same story, basically. And that refers to Alexander Cockburn's article that has been disappeared from the interwebs. And if I remember correctly, Alexander Cockburn actually republished it and spoke to that. How come this has disappeared? It's a rhetorical question, obviously, because you can't stay shadowy if, you know, everybody starts to discover and uncover sources and methods. And speaking of that, another curious clue in the info wars is that everything that I told you, you know, about resistance operating concept, the ROC, is public domain. So if it's a big shadowy secret, why is it public domain? And indeed, it's really not a secret. I mean, there's an effort to make it not secret. What I mean is the doctrinal author Otto Fiala himself has discussed at JSU, Joint Special Operations University, for example, how they want to keep it public domain so that everyone can get to the information quickly and we can all agree on terms. So it's public domain. Well, I mean, there is, let's see, I forget which outlet it was. What outlet was that I saw that a foreign, a Soviet, former Soviet bloc news outlet talking about this stuff, and they even talk about the history of it. And that was published, I think, back in 2018. It's not a secret. So what does that tell you? It gets back to the kind of the world revolutionary movement, welding these things together. We can only survive if we're one strong village. It sounds patently communitarian. Stick around. Second hour coming up. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.